Let's remember together some of the greatest TV and movie stars of yesteryear with the woman who knew them. Mary Jane Popp hosted radio and TV shows for nearly 5 decades, meeting these stars and getting them to share their real-life stories. You'll meet them up close and personal as Mary Jane searches her extensive archives for the best and brightest real star talk on Pop Star Talk. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
Welcome back to Pop Star Talk. Love having you all with me so we can share some special times together as we go back in time with some wonderful stars and personalities that made headlines. Now, in the past, I've told you that you will hear the famous and even the infamous right here on Pop Star Talk. And this time, this is definitely one that fits into that infamous category. The Mayflower Madam, Sydney Biddle Barrows. And of course, with me is producer Ken, my friend and producer, Kenneth Segura Knoll, who's had many an encounter with celebrities of all types. Hey, Ken, can you imagine Sydney? She was a delight. She had such a personality.
And for the record, I've not had an encounter with this.
Okay. Yeah, you weren't in her black book. Remember, that was the infamous thing, that she had a black book. And I mean, she had names in there that would have taken them down big time. I don't know, did they ever publish I don't think they ever published the black book or any of the names, did they?
Well, they did a movie about it.
Oh, yeah, well, Candace Bergen.
Candace Bergen.
She played, you know, the Mayflower Madam.
Right. And she also played her on Saturday Night Live when they did a sketch.
Did you see that? I have not seen it.
And actually, she's in there, but also our guest does a cameo on that skit, which was my real reference to the whole story. And then I got interested in it.
Well, actually, you know, my interview with her, I didn't know what to expect, to be honest with you, because you never know. But she was a delight, and she was so open about things. It wasn't like she was trying to hide anything. And she was very successful and is still very successful. And would you believe, I had no idea that she actually attended the Stoneleigh Burnham. It was a girls' boarding school in Greenfield, Massachusetts. And she's also an alumna of the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City. She worked in 1975 as an assistant to Alan Snyder, the buyer for Abraham and Strauss. I mean, she had a really interesting background. It wasn't like she was, you know, coming out of a poor little town and then trying to make it big. She was already very successful. Isn't that amazing?
You know, Mary Jane, we need to ask Peter if he ever met her or knew her.
That's a good question. I definitely will have to do that. What Ken is referring to is Peter Lamas, who was the hairstylist and makeup artist to huge number of stars, dating back to Elizabeth Taylor, Gwyneth Paltrow, you name it. He's done, you know, all these wonderful things. But yes, I definitely will ask, and we'll have to update everybody when we come back next time on Pop Star Talk.
Or if we have Peter on, and we are, when we have Peter on, we'll have to ask him. We'll put him on the spot.
You know what? Peter is so cool. He will never be put on the spot. And he's very honest. You've known him long enough now. I've known him for, like, oh my gosh, at least 25 years, maybe longer. And we're such good friends. And he's just so honest about everything. But anyway, this amazing woman. She, of course, was 1979 to 84 was when she was the Mayflower Madam and had this escort service. In 1984, she was actually shut down. Now, we've got the story all about it. So I think instead of my telling you more about her, I'm going to let her tell you more about herself. And there's so much more to Sydney Biddle Barrows, much more than the Mayflower Madam, including that she actually headed up the escort service at the Mayflower Hotel in Washington, D.C., under the name of Sheila Devlin, or Question mark. Did she? There's lots to learn about the Mayflower Madams, and so now we can hear her side of the story.
Seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man.
Well, maybe that's the reason, but I don't think so. But I'm telling you, who better to tell others how to sell your customers what they really want, no matter what business you happen to be in? Well, Sydney Biddle Barrows, that's the one. Best known for her reign as the Mayflower Madam when she founded and operated New York's most elite premium-priced escort service. If you remember, that was from 79 to 84, and then she was shut down in 84 for promoting prostitution. But then out of that came a best-selling autobiography, The Mayflower Madam, which later became a television movie of the same name. She's written two books after that on modern sexual etiquette. And now she has a sales consulting firm. And today she's a successful sales consulting advising top companies and entrepreneurs. And she shares her expertise in a book called Uncensored Sales Strategies. Sydney, what a pleasure to have you with us on Pop Off.
Thank you so much, Mary Jane.
Now, you know, I love the idea because like you're saying, basically, if you can sell one product, you can sell another, right?
Well, exactly. You know, a lot of people say, oh, but my business is different. You know, what could I possibly learn from Madam? Well, you know, business is business. And there's a heck of a lot that you can learn from me, just as I learned a heck of a lot from, for instance, the cosmetics companies, from the retail business. Just look around, see who else is successful, and ask yourself, how can I model myself after them in a way that would be appropriate for my business?
Yeah, the whole idea is what? You got to make yourself what? Irresistible?
Irresistible.
You got to satisfy
right.
The customer.
That's right.
And they all have secret desires. We all have secret desires. If we can appeal to those secret desires, you're sold, right?
That's right.
So how does one start? I mean, where does one begin? I mean, how do I know what my secret, what my customer really wants?
You know what you have to ask them. You have to listen for the answers. For instance, let me tell you how I did it. I started out moonlighting as a phone girl at an escort service because I lost my job in retail because I refused to participate in a kickback scheme.
Mm.
And, you know, you can't live on unemployment. You can't do it now. You couldn't do it then.
Right.
And so a friend of mine, you know, knew I was struggling and you know, unbeknownst to me, she was answering the phones for an escort service in the evening to supplement her income. And so I started there, and I started listening to what the men were telling me. And I realized that there were a lot of men out there, not all of them, but a lot of men out there, who were looking for a very upscale experience. And as a matter of fact, they were looking for what I call the fantasy. A lot of people make the mistake of thinking, oh, call girl business? She was in the sex business. No. I was in the fantasy business.
Oh.
And the fantasy was that the most beautiful, the most elegant, the most charming, you know, the most fabulous, the most expensive New York City call girl was going to walk through his door and have no other agenda other than to please him. She was going to laugh at his jokes. She was going to listen admire his success. She was going to have no other agenda other than to please him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was there sex involved in that? Yeah. But whether she was there for 1 hour or 6 hours, it never took more than about 5 minutes. So what were they paying for, really? They were paying for the fantasy.
Right.
And that's what you have to try and figure out, is what business are you really in? What is it your customers are really paying for? Not what do you think you're selling. What do you really... for instance, I was out in Pasadena. I just got back last night.
Uh-huh.
And one of the gals I had a presentation, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, okay, Sydney, what business am I really in? I'm a divorce lawyer.
Oh.
I said, okay, the business that you're really in is, if you're representing the person who wants the divorce, you're in the, I want to start a new life. You know, help me get out of the life I'm in so I can start a new life business.
Uh-huh.
If you're the one who, you know, was cheated on and, otherwise, you know, not... If you're the aggrieved party, you're in the, you know, let me punish this guy and get as much out of him as I can business.
Right.
I mean, so she's not just a divorce lawyer. She's a, you know, help me start a new life business.
Yeah, she's a psychologist, a counselor.
Yeah.
You got to be all those kinds of things. And I think too many people, they don't straddle, but they get into this little focused path and they won't get out of it. And they don't see anything on the side other than their own goal, the one thing that they're doing. And it's not about you.
See, now people would say, oh, Mary Jane, she's in the radio business. She is a radio personality. But no. You're in the information business.
Thank you.
You're in the let me educate people business. You're in the let me, you're in the, you know, I'm going to put people on this show that will either amuse you like me and hopefully help people.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, or like I heard you do the promo for your guest that's going to be talking about the in vitro drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in the really let me help you keep your health. I mean, you are really in the information business. You're in the helping people.
You bet.
Business. You're not just a radio personality.
Yeah, and see, I knew that a long time ago, and I don't know what it was. It was just instinctual that this show is not about me. What I do is not about me. It's about the people that I have on the air that will give things to you.
Right. Right. So that's the business you're really in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what you need to do. You have to figure out what business are you really in.
Yeah. How can, let's look at just something, because one area that I have a real big thing about is the big three, you know, the GM and the Chrysler and the Ford. And it's like, what are they trying to portray? And even in the commercials, it's always trying to be sexy. It's always trying to be this. It's always trying to be that. Give me something a little more practical. And they may be able to sell their doggone cars.
Well, the thing is they are not listening to what their customers want. I mean, one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of businesses do is they try and sell their customer what they think their customer ought to have, or what they want their customer to have. Now, when I was back in the retail business, I was an assistant buyer in the bath shop at Abraham & Strauss, which at the time was a federated department store.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my buyer taking me into the market, and we were looking at shower curtains. And she started ordering some of the most hideous shower curtains you have ever seen in your entire life. And I said, what are you doing? I said, who is ever going to buy? She said, Sydney, she goes, what you have to remember is we don't sell them. We are not our customer. Just because we wouldn't buy it doesn't mean that our customers wouldn't buy it. They're different than we are.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, those things just flew off the shelves and they were hideous as anything. So what the Detroit people were doing is they were building the kind of cars that they wanted to build.
Yeah.
And they were not listening and paying attention to what the customer really wanted.
It's so funny that you say that, because my husband and I would always have conversations about the cars. And, you know, I'm of age where we used to have the cars would come out in September with the brand new cars, and you'd see all these spectacular styles and every car you knew on the road because it had its own style.
Mm-hmm.
And now, do you know one car from the other on the road anymore? There's no personality to cars anymore.
No.
Who cares what I buy anymore?
You know why? Because it's all done by committee.
Yeah.
The minute you do something, I mean, look at how Lee Iacocca went and rescued Chrysler.
Yeah.
What he did is he was on the floor, you know, of the manufacturing, you know, whatever those things, what is it called? The assembly line.
Yeah.
And somebody had the balls, excuse my language, to come up to the big boss and say, you know, this car would make a great convertible. And so he said, instead of, you know, doing all kinds of studies and getting a committee together, he said, okay. He said, take a blowtorch, take the top off this car, and let's get in it, and we're going to go out and drive it around. And if girls, you know, are attracted to us and they start looking at us, then we'll make it. And that's exactly what happened. He went out and he got in it with a couple of people, and they drove around, and the girls looked at him, and he said, okay, we're going to make it.
Now, see, that's the cool way to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got to find out that the immediate response, it could be a tactical response, it could be a kinetic or audio, whatever it happens to be. Respond, get the response. But they don't listen to people. They do these polls and
focus
stuff. It's like, oh, please.
Oh.
You know, they lock them in a room, 14 mm-hmm. people, and then they say, you know, does this turn you on or does that turn you on?
Yeah, you
well, when you're
do,
locked
huh?
into a room like that, you're bound to say anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's they're just a mess. And I really resent the fact that that not only are my taxpayer dollars going to bail these people out and all the bankers, but that no one's accountable. They don't even want to tell us what they're doing with that money.
I know.
What is up with that?
I know.
That's another show. That's not what my book's about.
This whole thing with the bailout, it's like you're going to give money to people who didn't know how to spend it the first time.
Give
them more.
Why can't these people be punished? I don't understand it.
Yeah, believe me, I agree with you 110%. You know, just getting back, and I want to get into more of the sales tools, too. So I think this is very, very important for everybody. Because the future of this country is not going to be with big businesses anymore. It's going to be with the small entrepreneur. Do you agree?
I do agree. And I think that's because the small entrepreneur, they can turn on a dime a lot faster. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying before, they don't have to do the whole big committee thing. You know, if they decide they want to do something, they just go ahead and do it. And they can afford to, you know, they listen to their customers. They're closer to their customers.
Sure they are.
You get these guys up in, in Detroit, just for the sake of argument. And they're sitting in their offices so far removed from the customer. When was the last time they were actually on the floor of, a showroom floor?
They have no clue.
They have no clue.
No.
And that's one of the reasons that smaller businesses, also I think that people are terrified now that, you know, when you work for these big businesses, you can lose your job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden, after 20 years, they can just decide they're putting you out of business. But if you have your own business, you have more control of your life. And I think that's something that people are looking for. And that's one of the reasons, well, it's not the reason I wrote Uncensored Sales Strategy, but I certainly think that it's a book that people who do want to go into business for themselves can read and look at and get a better idea than those regular, those old generic, books about sales.
And the other thing, too, that they always talk about women that, there's no glass ceiling anymore. That's bull. Ceiling still exists in most instances, most businesses. But women are starting, and they do, 80% of the businesses that are started by women.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah, 80%.
I didn't realize it was that high.
Well, and it has to be, because how do you get to be the head of the CEO? The only way is own your own business.
Well, also, how can you raise a family and have the kind of hours you want, unless it's your own business? I think that's
exactly
one of the big things, is that women want to have a life.
Yeah. And I think women can be more creative. They're more open to ideas. Men are locked in because it's like, well, this is the way we've done it all the time. I'm not sure we're going to try something new. Whereas a woman says, look, I got nothing to lose. Let me go ahead and try it.
Yeah. No, I think women are much more willing to take a chance. And I think they're more willing to think outside the box, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, and also, I think women also understand more about the customer experience.
Yeah.
Men are all about selling features. You know, this is what it does. These are the number of pieces it has. This is how large it is. Women think, will tell you, this is what it will do for you. If you have this problem, it will solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
These are the benefits. And that's one of the things that I talk about in the book is, how do you really sell something effectively? And it's all about telling people what the benefits are. Because let's face it, everyone's, what's in it for me? That's what every consumer asks themselves. What's in it for me? And women understand that. And they're more willing to explain to you what's in it for you, as opposed to a man who will tell you that it's got 5 of this and 10 of that, and it's so high. And you know what I mean?
Exactly. Hang in there with me. I want to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about uncensored sales strategies and a little bit more about the Mayflower Madam. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, the famous Mayflower Madam, she's back with Uncensored Sales Secrets. You'll want to hear them.
This is a businesswoman. She wants to know or teaches people to know what that client wants. And if you can do it that way, you can be very successful. I mean, look at the books that she's written. The Secret Life, of course, of Sydney Biddle Barrows, but then also Mayflower Manners, Etiquette for Consenting Adults, another one called Just Between Us Girls, Secrets About Men from the Mayflower Madam, and that her latest was the Uncensored Sales Strategies. It's a radical new approach to selling your customers what they really want, no matter what business you're in. And she was just very good at what she did, Ken.
Yes, definitely. I'm sure that she's in high demand for her knowledge to train salespeople, because that's one of the biggest expenses of any business is having trained salespeople, because there's such a high turnover.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, she did, well, they mimicked her in many ways. You mentioned about the Saturday Night Live with Candace Bergen and all that. However, Law and Order did an episode on her based on, of course, her background and her case. Miami Vice, remember the old TV series Miami Vice? They did an episode on her. It's just, you know, everybody mimicked this woman, and it just made her more famous. You know, they all thought, oh, well, you know, they're exposing her. No, she didn't mind. It was just great. 1984, interesting. Her escort service was, of course, disbanded in 1984. And after pleading guilty and being fined only $5,000 for promoting prostitution, that's when she wrote her book, and then I'm sure she made her money back with no problem. But isn't she? She just has this openness. She never said anything to me before. Well, we can't talk about this, or you know, we can't discuss that. Nothing. It was wide open. Whatever you want to talk about. Isn't that incredible?
Yes, she's an open book.
Yeah, well, an open book in more ways than one, but we won't get into that.
I was going to get in trouble.
Well, you're being so quiet about this whole thing. It's just amazing. Can you imagine what was in that? I wish I could have seen that black book. Oh, my gosh. That would, to me, would have been absolutely unbelievable, because being in Washington, D.C., with all the politicians and all that, it had to be absolutely an incredible life. But, you know, Sydney, as I said before, is and was a shrewd businesswoman. And this next segment actually will tell you just how strong she is for promoting any kind of business that you can think of.
Hey, money, money, money isn't funny, but if you have your own business, it's going to be hard put to make some of that money these days. That's why we've got Sydney Biddle Barrows with us, the famous, infamous, however you want to say it, Mayflower Madam, but she has a new book out called Uncensored Sales Strategies. It's XXX Rated Secrets, a radical new approach to selling your customers what they really want, no matter what business you are in. Sydney, I've got to ask you straight out, though, because I've always been curious about this. Do you think we should legalize prostitution?
I think we should decriminalize it.
Okay.
Because there is a difference. I mean, my attitude has always been, if you can give it away, why can't you sell it?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, you think of all the other things you can give away. I mean, but if someone's willing to pay you money for them, for it, and you think that whatever they're offering you is fair, why shouldn't you be allowed to take it?
Well, if we decriminalize it, then we can also collect taxes for it. We can make some money.
Yeah.
You know, so this is, and also make it safer on the streets, because so many women are on the streets and very, very unsafe, and many of them get hurt very badly. So this is, and a health issue. I mean, there's so many issues around it.
I know. It's just, you know, the problem is no politician's ever going to run with that as part of their platform, because they'll be shouted down. And you know what I mean? It's not worth anyone's while to change things.
You got to have somebody with some real gonads, right?
Someone like the mayor of San Francisco.
You know, or a woman. A woman just
or
to stand up and say, look, this is ridiculous. You know? And because they always say, oh, well, prostitution, we don't want to have that on our streets. It's always been there.
It's always been there. And you know that you get it off the street if you decriminalize it.
Thank you. Exactly. Now, how do you get people to come back for more? Suppose we sell them. We get to their desires and we appeal to them and they buy the product or they buy the service. How do we get them to keep coming back?
Well, one of the things you do is you stay in touch with them. I've got a whole thing in my book about that. And one of the biggest, when was the last time you did business with someone and you got a thank you card? Or when was the last business time you did business with someone and then they didn't continue to follow up with you so that you remembered who they were?
Yeah.
For instance, I had my, I had somebody come into my house and appraise all my different, you know, all my belongings for my, insurance policy.
Right.
And I've never heard from her since.
No.
Now, I don't remember who the heck she is. I don't remember where I found her, but I sure would like to see her again.
Huh.
And, you know, businesses do this all the time. They get someone's business once, And then they just sit around and wait for that person to call back. And that's a huge mistake. People don't remember who you are.
That's true.
You know, you're not at the top of their mind. So especially if you have a service business, it's so important for you to stay. Even if it's just every 6 months, drop someone a little postcard. Hi, you know, how are you? This is what we're doing. We have this special, whatever it is. But you've got to stay in touch with people. It's so important.
You know, I'm so glad you said that. And I'm glad you said drop a little note, because so many people, they'll email. And if your email, it gets lost with the other 150 that you get.
Delete, 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 delete.
Exactly. And somebody who takes the time to write me a little note, even if it's like 15 words, you know, it doesn't have to be long. You cared enough to write that note and send it to me.
Oh, even if it's just a cute little postcard.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, for instance, every spring, some local air conditioning people send me this little postcard saying, you know, it's going to get hot soon, you know, before the rush comes, why don't I come over and make sure your air conditioner's all, you know, fixed up, da-da-da-da. And I think to myself, oh, yeah, I better do that. And I get on the phone and I give them a call, just as I'm sure a lot of people do.
Yeah, but we're so separated in our society today. It's like, you know, everybody is either got their nose stuck in an iPod or a BlackBerry, and we don't socialize anymore. We don't even talk to each other anymore.
Well, and another thing that that I talk about a lot in my book is creating a customer experience.
Oh.
I mean, people should really look around. Look around. I feel that the United States and our society has become so homogenous. You could take any of us and drop us into any mall in America, and you wouldn't know which one you were in.
That's true.
They're all the same. And then you go to the suburbs, and there's the Chili's, and there's the Ruby Tuesdays, and there's the Olive. I mean, no matter where you go, it's the same.
Yeah.
And customers are looking for something that's unique and that's different and that delights them and makes them smile. And, you know, why would people want to go? Sometimes you do want to go to Old Navy and get T-shirts because you just want a plain T-shirt. And I get that. And I go to Old Navy and I get plain T-shirts, too. But if you want something a little fancier, wouldn't it be a lot more fun to go into a quirky little store? I mean, all those little mom-and-pop stores are gone now.
I know.
You get these big chain pharmacies instead of the, you know, mom-and-pop little pharmacy and little hardware store.
That really cared about you. That cared about you, too.
Yeah, and they knew who you were.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. And then that's just... Anyway, so if you can provide that kind of an experience for your customers, they will flock to you. And not only that, but not everybody, because there are some people who do have to shop just by price, but there are a lot of people that if you give them a better experience, they'll even pay a little bit more.
Sure they will.
To do business with you, because it's a pleasure to do business. They enjoy doing business with you. It means something to them. I'm sure that when I go to my local pharmacy here in New York City, instead of the Rite Aid, I'm probably paying a little bit more for everything. But you know what? I walk in the door. The guy knows me. He says hello to me. That means a lot to me.
Sure it does.
Or if my prescription... when I call up and they say, oh, gee, Sydney, you know, it's expired or there, you don't have any refills left, and it's a Friday afternoon, he can't get anyone on the phone, he'll give me enough pills to last me for the, you know, over the weekend.
Exactly.
But Rite Aid won't do that.
That's right. And you're so right. I remember, now I don't know how old you are, but I'm old enough to remember the little boutiques where they actually stayed with you and brought you clothes. And they cared about you. And you felt obligated to go to that store because you thought, they care about me. I'm going to go back and I'm going to frequent them and buy things from them. Same thing with cars. You know, if one of the manufacturers would come out with a very unique design car, everybody would line up because they want to have something different, because they don't want to be the same, like you said, homogenous car that's driving down the road.
I mean, look how why T-Bird did so well. Remember those little old T-Birds?
Yes.
Because they were so different looking, so were the Mustang.
Exactly.
You know, they were different. And people are so afraid, I think, these days to be different. And not the consumer as much as the manufacturers.
Yep.
They're afraid if they make something that's too different that people won't buy it. So, you know, if I make something that looks like everybody else's, but maybe I price it a little less, then they'll buy mine. And that is just not the way to go.
I got a newsflash for you. They're not buying them now.
Yeah.
Hello.
The problem is nobody's buying anything now. I mean, the zeitgeist right now, I mean, this sort of pervasive fear. Even people who have money aren't spending
money. They're scared. They're scared to
Everyone's
do anything
scared
with it.
To death.
Yeah. They lost so much when everything went down. Now, is it true, just out of curiosity, that you actually are a Mayflower descendant?
Oh, yes, on both sides.
No kidding.
Yeah, William Bradford on my mother's side and John Howland on my father's side.
Oh,
that's where the whole Mayflower Madam thing came from. Every once in a blue moon, you'll say, oh, she did business out of the Mayflower Hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally not true.
Oh, no.
People just make that up. But, yeah, yeah, both sides.
So what's
you
next?
You can see them all rolling over in their graves right now, can't you?
Flipping. Hey, no. You have enterprising Sydney Barrows. Now, Sydney, what's next? What's up next? For you.
What's up next? Well, as a matter of fact, I am creating a product. It's called, because the customer experience is so important to me, and it's something that I feel, as I was saying to you before, everything is so homogenous, and that I feel that we are transitioning into what I call an experience economy. And so I'm actually doing more consulting work with respect to that. I go to businesses, and I help them create a special experience, and I'm also creating a product so that people who, you know, can't afford $5,000 a day plus expenses can buy this product. And it's got a workbook and it's got checklists and it's got a big blueprint they can put up on their wall and follow. And they can create that for themselves.
I think that's a wonderful idea. Now, I'd love to have you come back again sometime, would you?
I would love to. I would love to. You know, when my experience product comes up, I should send you a copy.
Terrific.
And, you know, you can take a look at it and maybe we can talk about it.
But when is that coming out? Do you know?
The beginning of May, probably.
Okay. Well,
that's
if you don't
goal.
Get back in touch with me, I will with you.
Great.
Fantastic. Sydney,
okay.
Thank you so much for being
thank
with
you,
us.
Thank you, Mary Jane.
By the way, do you have a website?
Oh, yes, I do. It's Sydney Barrows, SYDNEYBARROWS.com. And if after that you put /blog, then you can get to my blog.
Fantastic. Again, Sydney, thank you so much for being
thank
with us
you.
Today.
Thanks, Rachel.
Take good care now.
Thank you. You too. Have a nice weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now. Uncensored Sales Strategies. That's the name of the book. You can go to sydneybarrows.com. Always cutting edge on Papa.
I love talking to her. She was such a delight. Isn't she, Ken?
Yeah, she was on it. You know, she was talking, I remembered something that was attributed to her. She would say, whatever you're selling, sell the fantasy of what you want the customer to buy.
There you go.
And if it's a car, it's the fantasy of going on a vacation in that car, or the fantasy of, you know, going, doing this, or whatever you're selling. And that's a good sales point, you know. It's
absolutely.
Always, you know, even if it's simple as you're selling tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
You buy the tomato. Are you going to take it home and make this great salad and have this wonderful dinner? When, you know, sell the fantasy. And, you know, when she was, that's what she was talking about. The call girls, they were selling a fantasy to the buyer.
And it's so interesting too, that this is quite a few years ago that I did the interview with her. And she was talking about a separated society. We don't talk to each other. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's what's happening now.
And what amazes me about all the interviews we've done, it is so timely. It was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But what they talk about, we're there today again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, history does repeat itself over and over and over.
And the old saying, you know, you're bound to make the same mistakes if you don't learn from history. And I don't think we've learned a whole lot, to be honest with you. And talk about a homogenous society. Oh, wow. Exactly. You know, people don't want to be unique. I don't know why. I mean, because especially in our country, you have all the opportunity to be unique that you want, but they just will not go. So I bet she's still going strong. She's
well, Mary Jane, I can tell you, you are unique.
I am. Now wait a minute. Is that a good thing, or are you giving me a slam?
No, it's a great thing. After our trip to LA and a few other trips, you prove it over and over again.
Well, it's, you know, you have to be who you are, not who others want you to be.
Yeah.
Because that's what makes success. And also, I feel better about it. I don't want to be, you know, you see all these people with certain clothes on, and this is the trend, and this is what they're doing. And then, of course, if you wait a few years, what's old becomes new again anyway. Mm-hmm. I remember not too long ago, they came back with platform shoes. And I went, wait a minute. I'd get platform shoes and sandals. I really had bad ankles because of that, because I kept falling off, you know, the platform, you know, and I'd have aching ankles from that. I don't want to do it again, you know, but again, it's just, you have to choose what's right for you, not what others tell you what's right for you. That's my philosophy. What do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. You know, one thing I got from the interview is I always thought she was the Mayflower girl because of the hotel.
Mm-mm.
And she cleared that up.
Yep. And to think that, and even she said, you know, they'd be spinning in their grave if they knew what she was doing. But on both sides, she, you know, they came over on the Mayflower. So
right.
But it's just, you know, I learn all these wonderful things about these people. And that's why I love doing the interviews and continue to do, you know, a love for interviews. Because if you allow people to just be themselves, I don't want you to be your character. I don't want you to be, you know, a star type. I just want you to be you. And let's just share. Let's have a glass of wine, sit in a couch someplace and talk. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what counts. So it counts. Anyway, thanks again, Ken. I appreciate all your insights too. So that's what we want you to know. The real story and facts from the celebrities themselves. By the time their stories go from radio to TV to print, you never know what's fact and what's fiction, but you will on Pop Star Talk. Thanks to my producer, of course, Ken Knoll, and his insights into their personality. And thanks to engineer Greg for caring about the story itself. And to all of you folks for taking that walk back in time with us to hear the real story in days gone by. And I want to leave you with my thought that I use on the show all the time. Live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and don't forget, please, always dare to dream.
Produced by Autovita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.